Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Monday Night Raw this week sees the continuation of the King of the Ring tournament, the continuation of the reintroduction of Sasha Banks, the introduction of a brand new tag team with a tag team tornado match. Quite a bit. It was a very ambitious Monday Night Raw, and we'll be getting into it in depth, talking about how this Raw affects the overall coming Clash of Champions, affects your opinion on how things are being run on Raw now that the news, at least, is that Paul Heyman is basically in charge of it. And let's get right to it, because there's quite a bit to dissect here. The first thing I want to note is that Corey Graves is back on the announced team, and right away, that feel is back. There are people I know that are large Corey Graves fans who really, really enjoy this guy. I am not one of them. His constant bickering with Renee Young and Michael Cole, and his incessant need to get himself over and not what's happening in the ring, bothers me a lot. And last week, Raw was better for having had Vic Joseph and Jerry Lawler on commentary team. That didn't happen. And I really felt like it was back to the stagnant, argumentative dialogue that really makes me want to turn the sound down. So that's the unfortunate thing. Now, as far as the good news is concerned, we are to have two King of the Ring qualifying matches, one of which, at least, Drew McIntyre and Ricochet. Sounds like it's going to be a barn burner. And then we have Baron Corbin and The Miz. And I think we all knew where that was going. But let's just start with the first King of the Ring qualifying match, which was the first match of the night. And we have Drew McIntyre against Ricochet. And I'm saying to myself, you know, logically, we're probably looking at a Ricochet win, because everyone had built up Drew McIntyre. Everyone had picked Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is going to win. Drew McIntyre is going to win. The minute Drew McIntyre went over and sit on the throne, I said, he's not winning. He's simply not winning. Wouldn't have done it if he was winning. So now the only question is, how is he losing? And my thought process was, he'll lose by count out. He'll lose by DQ. Something will happen. And it was a really good match. I don't have any problem with the match. I do have a problem with the fact that apparently they don't think enough of Drew McIntyre to really push him. He's basically lost to Cedric Alexander. He's now lost to Ricochet. I don't see what his credibility factor is as a top heel. If you're dropping to guys who weigh 100 pounds less than you on a regular basis, and I don't care how many times Corey Graves says, well, he has trouble with smaller guys. The style, it's trouble for Drew McIntyre. Okay, well, I don't know. Braun Strowman doesn't. So the bottom line of the situation is you're devaluing Drew McIntyre. If the truth be told, he probably should have won this whole tournament. But that's not the direction they're going in. So after a really good match, Drew McIntyre takes the loss. Ricochet advances. It's going to be Ricochet and Samoa Joe in the next round of the tournament. And I don't know if it surprised you, Mike, but it didn't surprise me after he sat on the throne, but it did surprise me in some way that he lost clean, because I thought McIntyre, this was probably a tournament that could have established McIntyre once and for all as one of your top heels, and they chose not to go that direction.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, and look, here's the deal. I don't know how long he's got on his contract. I mean, I guess he's got a couple of more years, I guess. But if I'm him, I wouldn't seriously think about coming back to the WWE after his contract is done, if they're going to treat him like this. You know, he's proven he can be the guy, you know, in different places. But obviously, and look, obviously this is a long, we're a long way from him being, quote, the chosen one.
Yeah, you know, that's why I thought he was going to win this. I really did. I thought he might win this tournament and adopt that thing back again. You know, it just seemed logical. And I guess not. Having Ricochet in it, my assumption is, and we'll get to the winners and losers in a minute, but my assumption is they understand that Ricochet is very popular. And they understand that... you know, he gets good fan backing, but putting a robe and a crown on him is not going to do anything. Primarily, this should be a heel spot. I don't like when King of the Rings are faces. It doesn't work for me. It just doesn't. Should be a heel spot for the most part. And I don't see it going in that direction. It might. It still might. But I don't know. But it was a good match, Todd. So what was your thoughts overall on the Drew McIntyre-Ricochet match? We're having a little bit of trouble with the phone. Hang on one second. Let's get Todd. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was a pretty good match, and you're absolutely right. Face should not post win a King of the Ring thing. The last person who won King of the Ring was, I think the last two people, the two separate years, was Regal and Barrett, who were heels at the time.
Right.
If it's a face wins it, I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I will either. I do think it's more designed by its very nature to be a heel prop. Now, I should say that the show was opened with Sasha Banks. The reason I didn't mention it to begin with is I really think that this is like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. That's the best way I can describe it. Sasha Banks is going to bring some eyes and excitement for a few minutes to the women's division because she's just come back. She's done this heinous act to Natty, and people are interested in, oh, what's going to happen? How's the relationship going to go with her and Bayley? How's the relationship going to go with her and Becky Lynch? So there is definitely some interest. But I can see the direction this is going. She gets in the ring, and typical Sasha Banks, who is not bad on the mic per se, but she's repetitive, and she's, I guess the right word for it is uninteresting. In other words, she doesn't stumble over her words and say, well, I'm trying to, she doesn't do that, but she just keeps repeating the same thing. I deserve this and I deserve that. Her whole shtick is involved in just five or six catchphrases and that's it. And that's going to get old really, really, really quick. And as soon as she loses, and I fear that's coming, as soon as she loses, it's done. Because people are going to have gotten their satisfaction of, okay, Sasha Banks got her ass kicked. Who else have we got floating around here? Nobody. Which is what we discussed on Sunday. So Sasha Banks can't single-handedly save this women's division because where's it going to go after her or before her? If she takes on everybody and wins, you know, where's her main foes coming from? You could run her through... Bayley, if you wanted to, you could run her through Becky Lynch and that's it. So for the people who are saying, well, Sasha brought up some energy back to the women's division. Yes, she has, temporarily. But even that's going to get old, because if she comes out next week and does the same old, I deserve this, and it gets old real quick. See, the best people on the mic are the people who can sort of say the same thing, but in a very different way. So rather than for Sasha to have come out and say, I deserve this, and I deserve that, and I deserve this, it's better if you target your opponents. It's better if you come out and say, the reason I did what I did to Natty is to wake her up and realize that she's a part of the past. No matter how much she claims that she's the forefront of this women's revolution, to be perfectly honest, she's the roadblock. And I finally came to realize that. Target the person themselves, because then it always changes. It's a different opponent, then it's a different structure that you have to use that microphone. You can't say that about Becky Lynch, so now you got to go out and say something about Becky Lynch. You know, we came up in NXT together. She was always the underdog. She hasn't changed. She's just false bravado. There's many things you can say about Becky Lynch, and then if you have to fight Bayley, it's a whole different one. So your shtick on the mic always changes. If you just concentrate on yourself, it never changes. It's always the same thing. I deserve, I'm this, I'm that. That gets old. So somebody needs to get in Sasha's ear and say, could you concentrate on cutting promos mostly on your opponents so that you're not mired down with that same rhetoric time and time and time again, because it's going to get old quick. Now, to her credit, Natty came down like a house of fire, and it was a really good brawl there for a minute. It looked believable. And it set the tone that they're going to fight later on in the night. So I was okay with that. It's just that I do think that Sasha Banks' whole entire shtick is going to get old quick. Mix it up, Mike.
Yeah, it probably is. But I did enjoy the fact that, I don't know if she did it or if she was told to do it, but she actually brought up the whole her whole situation, you know, about her taking my ball and going home and the tag team titles and how that's been working out and all that stuff. They actually let her talk about that stuff, you know. And I said, well, once they did that, I said, this could be good. Now, yeah, she does get old. There are people that, I mean, the New Day essentially come out and say the same thing every time, but it never gets old, you know?
Well, the reason is because they always come up with a little bit of a different shtick. It's basically the same, you're right, but it's a little different because they keep reinventing it over and over again. You're right about the Sasha Banks mentioning, you know, the reality of taking her ball and going home and crying on the WrestleMania dressing room floor and all that stuff, and that's great. But here's where they lost me, Mike. I wanted Sasha Banks to say, that tag team title meant everything in the world to me. And I felt very strongly that it was much more of a historic moment than Becky Lynch beating Ronda Rousey. Big deal. And before we could even celebrate, they were taken away from us. And I began to realize, I don't want this. I need my own space. I want my own glory. I'm not relying on other people. Because when she said it meant nothing to me, well, we all know that's stupid. And that's a lie, because she's crying on television because she won it. So now that you've totally jumped the shark and said something that the fans say, well, that's simply not true, then you think everything's not true, and then it's not relatable anymore. If you really wanted that to be impactful, she should have said yes to tag team titles. I didn't care about the money at that time. I didn't care that Becky Lynch was getting more money. I didn't care whatever. All I cared about was the tag team titles. Then I realized, this isn't where I belong. I don't want my fate resting on somebody who, you know, I can't rely on. Because did you say, oh, they meant less than nothing to me? We know better than that from her actions. And we know better than that from, yeah, I mean, you can go back on the WWE Network and watch the damn thing. So what ends up happening is it makes everything she says sound phony from that point on, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it does look phony when she did that promo and everything. And it just didn't seem right.
I don't think you can do that, Mike. I don't think you can. When she said, yeah, I was crying on the dressing room floor, great. When she said, yes, I took my ball and went home, great. All of that is fantastic because it smacks of real and reality. And the fans are saying, wow, she's shooting from the hip now. She's telling the truth. But then the second she says that, the fans go back to, no, that's not true. We know that's not true based upon, you know, her reaction when she won it.
Right. And that basically, remember what they were trying to play up, that, well, she didn't care for Bailey and she wasn't really Bailey's friend and all that stuff.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
That they were trying to play that up. That brings that when she says, well, it didn't matter to me. That brings us right back to saying, well, maybe the people who said that she really wasn't Bailey's friend, you know, were right.
Yeah, I mean, you can go that route, and I'm with you on that.
But then
the problem is, if you want this stuff to be reality-based, don't tell a girl who cried on television and said how much this meant to her, it was her dream come true, that I didn't want to be the tag team champion anyway. Because then everything she says, we don't buy. Simple as that. I was very disappointed in that because you're right. When they initially started letting her talk about this stuff, I was like, oh, that's very good. But I did not expect it to go there. Anyway, Baron Corbin and The Miz, and all I can say to The Miz is the worst move they ever got him to do was to turn face. As soon as he turned face, he is absolutely irrelevant. He cannot defend his father. He cannot beat Shane McMahon. He cannot beat anybody. He cannot beat anybody. And once again, The Miz goes down in flames to Baron Corbin. And I know there's a lot of people out there who think Baron Corbin's probably going to be the King of the Ring. I don't know. I mean, never say never with the WWE. They very well might. They very well might. But I'm hoping not. I'm hoping it doesn't go in that direction. I mean, it was an okay match, but at this stage of the game, I have to tell you, I'm over Baron Corbin. I don't know. Unless you totally reinvent him, which you haven't done yet, I'm just over it, Mike. I don't see him as being a top heel. We're having trouble with these phones again, folks, so give us a moment here. For some reason, all the phone lines are freezing. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but again, I think it's the same exact thing. And in my mind, it's the same exact thing. When Baron Corbin goes to sit on the crown, sit on the thing, and then he actually puts the crown on, all right? Once he did that, you know, just like Drew McIntyre, it's jumping the shark. That tells me that Baron Corbin probably is not going to be the King of the Ring. Why would they actually let somebody who actually sits on the throne become the King of the Ring, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's the same way with McIntyre. I don't know. Never say never with the WWE just because it's Baron Corbin. And for some reason, they think this go-away heat that Baron Corbin has is actual real heat. We get an announcement, by the way. Yes, the Street Profits are the most annoying thing on Raw. I am really, totally sick and tired of this. Hopefully, I'm not the only one. But this is a horrible way. Just a horrible way to use the Street Profits. At this point, they're so annoying, no one even wants to see them wrestle. At least I don't. You know what they remind me of? They remind me of like some corny 1960s announcer at the end of a old television show, almost like Batman. You know, how will the Caped Crusaders escape this? Will the Joker get away with such and such? Well, that's what we got backstage. Oh, we have Baron Corbin going against The Miz tonight. How will they, who will advance? We have a tornado tag team match, and we have the rules right here. Can we get the graphic? That's what they are. What are they, the host? That's just terrible. I mean, whoever thought of this idea? It's just terrible. Terrible. They're not funny. They're not charismatic. They're just two idiots. That's what it reminds me of. Two annoying idiots. Two guys you'd kick out of your house at a party because you're like, okay, you're just really, really, really annoying. I'm sure they think in their mind they're like going for New Day type stuff, but that's not what's happening here at all. These guys are just plain annoying. So then we find out that Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins are going to take on the winners of this tornado tag team match. They have an interview backstage where Rollins says, no matter who it is, doesn't matter. We're going to go in there, we're going to win, and then I got to defend my title. And Braun Strowman says, yeah, you do. Who are you going to defend it against? Seth says, well, I mean, that's an interesting point. I don't know. There's quite a few people in the wings, which I'd love to hear who he thinks is quite a few people in the wings that deserve a shot. I'd love to have heard it. But we didn't get a chance to hear it because he says, but you don't want to hear that. I know what you want. You want a title shot. So if that's what you want, that's what you're asking for, I'll give it to you. So now we have this situation where they're going to defend the tag team belts, and then Rollins is going to defend his Universal title against his tag team champion partner. Okay. You know, I guess that's at least different, but I don't know if I'm into it. I don't know if I'm into it. I know Braun Strowman had recently said that he was very frustrated with the WWE. And he went into Vince McMahon's office and wanted to talk to him, and he was very, very down about where he was in the business and what was happening with him. And he said Vince McMahon talked to him for 45 minutes and changed his mind. And he now thinks Vince McMahon is a genius and proud to call him a friend and all that kind of stuff. But look, if every time somebody just bitches and moans, if somebody just goes to Vince's office and says, AEW, and you say, give him a belt to shut him up, that's not no way to run a wrestling federation. It's no way to run a wrestling federation. Think of the wrestling federation as like a marriage or a relationship. If every time your girlfriend or boyfriend got mad at you, they said, I'm going to go back to my ex, or I know a guy or a girl who's interested in me, and you said, okay, I'll do whatever you want to do, is that a good relationship? I mean, if I ran the WWE, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. If I was proud of the way I run it and I thought I treated my people fine and I thought that we had a lot to offer and we were fair with everyone, and someone comes to me and says, I'm unhappy because I'm not this and I'm not that, okay, then leave. Don't want you to leave, but if you think you can get a better deal somewhere else, go. Because a lot of this is all bluff. Really is. Anyway, we get that announcement, and I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I guess it's an okay match, Todd, but I doubt Braun Strowman's winning the Universal title.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty good match until the end with got caught with his chair and he didn't hit AJ.
No, we're not talking about that. Whoa, you're jumping way ahead. You're talking about the main event. We're just talking about the backstage interview. That's all we're talking about. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, you know, before we get to that, you're right about the Street Poppers are just getting annoying. When I first saw them, I said, okay, this is Crime Time or whatever. And even Crime Time wasn't that bad. But again, the Seth Rollins deal, and again, you're right about the whole thing. It's like every time somebody does that and he capitulates, it's like he's showing fear. That's not what we think of Vince McMahon. We don't think of Vince McMahon as ever showing fear, you know, about anybody. He never showed fear about WCW, you know.
No.
Even when WCW was giving away their matches, you know, their shows, you know, throughout the beginning of Raw. So again, when they go in and they say, well, AEW, you know, because they're not happy, and he capitulates to them and does what he does what's his name? It's him showing fear.
And they're doing the same thing to a certain extent with Sasha Banks. They had Sasha Banks over the coals. She's going nowhere. She's got a long-term contract that needs to be fulfilled. It doesn't even – it's on hold until she actually gets into the ring. Okay, Sasha, we'll give you this big, important part. And what happens the next time Sasha feels like, oh, I'm being misused again. Oh, I've lost 3 matches in a row. I'm leaving again. You can't run a wrestling federation that way. Oh, I have to lose? Nah, forget it. I'm going home. What? I'm not the champion. I'm going home. Okay. Well, if you want to try to make everybody happy that way, good luck to you. We then have Bayley come out and facing Nikki Cross. Could be my imagination, or it could just be her outfit has changed, but it looks like Nikki Cross has dropped weight. And I don't know whether they told her to do it or whatever, but she looks thinner. Anyway, the very fact that Bayley was there intrigued me because I said, she's going to run into Sasha backstage. If you have Sasha and Bayley in the same building and you don't shoot a backstage, even if it's just a tense passing in the hallway, you missed an opportunity. I know that Bayley's on SmackDown. I don't care. I'm telling you that if Bayley is on that show, which she was, and as the wild card rule, and Sasha is going to be there, then as a writer, your job is to say, well, the fans are going to expect something. We know this is Natty's deal, and ultimately Becky Lynch's for the foreseeable future. But we have to have at least that one moment of eye contact or meeting or something. We have to have something. Or the fans are going to be disappointed. Nope. Nothing. Nikki Cross puts on a good match but loses. I get it. You know, they're pushing Bayley as coming into her own, which is fine. It's fine. But you've got to have that moment. You've got to have that moment with her and Sasha Banks, Mike, even if it's a very, very small, it doesn't have to be an elaborate in-ring thing. It just has to be something that gives the fans the notion that you were thinking, and yes, of course, they're going to bump into each other backstage. Otherwise, I think the fans feel like you're, I don't know, just ignoring the past once again.
Right, and I mean, yeah, you could have them just bump into each other, but the real impact probably would have been having Bayley say something to the effect, just maybe in passing, but say something into the effect of, I understand what you were getting at. Just that simple 5 or 6 word sentence would have.
I would have done the opposite. I'll tell you what I would have done, honestly. If I was in charge of the writing, I would have said, we're trying to change Bayley a little bit, right? We're trying to make Bayley less innocent, less green and naive and wild-eyed and, oh, everybody, oh, my friends, everything. I think it's time for Bayley to have a moment. And I would have bumped into Sasha Banks backstage with Bayley. And I would have had Bayley say, hello, you know, normally like she would with someone that was a friend. And then have Sasha kind of give her the cold shoulder and say, don't worry, I understand exactly what you're doing. Because while you were gone, changing, I was here changing. And I know something that you probably don't think I know. And that is, you were never my friend. You rode my coattails as long as you could because you thought it was convenient for you. And you thought I was always going to be this innocent little girl who just followed you around like a puppy dog and thought you were the greatest thing on earth. Well, I don't. I think you're trash. And I don't need you. And the WWE don't need you. And the fans don't need you. And you weren't missed when you were gone. Guess what? I got a belt. You got blue hair. Who won? I guarantee you, fans would have been like, oh shit, that's a whole new Bailey. And that would have led to the seeds of eventually there's going to be a showdown. We are going to get it. It might take a while, but we're going to get it. And that, I think, would have been an important turning point in future storyline for the WWE, because then you say, well, now, wait a minute, she's going to have to get by Natty, and then she's probably going to have to go through, who knows, maybe she'll beat Becky Lynch, and there'll be some kind of a unification match. We don't know what's going to happen, but eventually we know down the road, a very changed Bailey, who's no longer trying to win her best friend back, who basically just called her trash and get out of my life, going to face a very new Sasha Banks, who realizes I can't get over on her by acting like I still like her. And I think that would have been a great, great moment. And again, it's just something so simple. It takes 5 minutes. You could have just taken that time away from the Street Profits, Mike.
Street Profits, Mike.
Oh, yeah. And look, yeah, she's going to have to go through Sasha. Probably, I mean, Becky Lynch. She probably, if she was on the other show, she'd probably have to go through Charlotte as well. But, I mean, when all of them first came up, they were on equal footing. All of those, in fact, they were in that group, that Four Horsewoman group, before they came up. And when they came up, they were all in that same footing. So it would have made sense.
Absolutely. And when the smoke clears, we know what we're getting, Sasha and Bailey. So at least we have something to look forward to couple of months from now. Sow the seeds early. It would have took 2 minutes. Bailey was already there. Sasha's already there. Fans expected something. So we get the tornado tag team match, and the very first people up are the Viking Raiders, and I'm like, oh my God. Because you know the first people up aren't winning. So I'm saying to myself, oh, holy shit, they're going to drop a match somehow. Maybe it'll be by DQ or count out, but they're not winning. They're definitely not winning. They get by the B team relatively quickly. I mean, that's just over. And then here come Anderson and Gallows. And before you know it, there's a double disqualification and both of those teams are out. As soon as both of those teams are out, you look at the remainder of the teams and you say, okay, well, it's not going to be Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. It's not going to be Heavy Machinery. It's not going to be the Lucha House Party. So obviously, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, who are a newly formed tag team, they're going to win. I'll tell you, I've never seen anybody use like Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is like this extra in Hollywood who's in every scene as a different character. I've never seen anything like it. He's like their biggest utility player. It's just, you fit in here. You go in here. You're going for this title. You're going for that title. You're going in this feud. You're going in that feud. Holy mackerel are they using Ziggler. I didn't think it was an especially good tournament. I don't even think they looked especially unified as a tag team. Once again, the last people they fight is Heavy Machinery, and they're going nowhere. Heavy Machinery's going nowhere. I warned everybody when they came in and everybody was saying, this is going to be a change in tag team. I'm like, nah, they're going to be dropping matches in 3 months to everybody. And that's exactly what's happening. Heavy Machinery's not going anywhere. Nowhere. So Ziggler and Roode win the whole thing. They're going against Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, which doesn't sound very promising. Except that I did like what Dolph Ziggler said. when Dolph Ziggler said, how about if their match comes before ours? How about if Seth Rollins has to defend that belt against Braun Strowman before they have to defend their tag team belts against us? That would be very interesting, because then you have that extra added drama of, well, how did that go? It's not going to happen. No way is the tag team belts going to be defended after the Universal title, but at least it was on Dolph Ziggler's part. It was something smart to bring up, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with heavy machinery, we're not going to go. I don't think you're going to see them go anywhere. They're going to be like jobbers for the rest of their WWE careers if they get something else. Like you said, with the Viking Raiders and the Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, I think you're going to see a few of those two teams right there.
You're definitely going to. I would have rather seen the Viking Raiders actually get that shot. That would have been an interesting tag team match, but I don't know. So in reality, I mean, it's something good to do with Rude, because Rude needs something. And I guess it's something good to do with Ziggler. And don't get me wrong, they're two good wrestlers. That's a good team. But once again, I'm proven right when I say the WWE's idea of who gets the number one contendership is just throw you in, you're in. I know you've lost 9 straight matches. It don't matter. You're in. Sammy, you're going for the belt. Joe, you're going for the belt. I know you've just dropped 3 matches in a row. You're the number one contender. Now they look at the tag teams and they say, can we build up one of the tag teams we already have? No, they all suck. Let's form a new tag team and you guys are going to go for the belt, because none of these guys are worth it. And I just don't like that philosophy. If you have to throw together teams or throw together number one contenders because you don't have anybody, whose fault is that? Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, you have two teams. Well, you have Anderson and Gallows is a former championship team. Even though you don't like the B, even though people aren't going to think much of the B team, they are a former championship team, and so is Hawkins and Ryder. You know, they're a former championship team. So why – and we know what they feel about the Viking Raiders. You know, they're in for a push at some point, and they're going to have to give them the titles at some point as well. But, I mean, if it wasn't going to be the Viking Raiders, I would have liked to have seen – I mean, I want to see the OC get their titles back at some point, because it makes sense for them to have their titles. You know, just like it would make sense for, for the B team or Hawkins and Ryder to get the titles back again, you know.
Well, the OC especially, in my opinion, because what do you – I mean, they sign a long-term contract. They give them the belts, probably promised them the belts, then take it right away. Oh, the ink isn't even dry on the contract. You're back to being jabrones. Yeah, that's really good for all those other people you're trying to talk into staying. I don't know. Anyway, it was an okay match. I guess it's a fresh team out of it. I guess we're okay with it. We get a Firefly Funhouse. It's just a recap of everything that happened. I have no idea why you feel the need to recap everything, little short segments of the Firefly Funhouse. It was just all rehashed. You're in New Orleans. You're in Louisiana. You're in Bray Wyatt territory. Ain't nothing. Got nothing. Don't know. Cedric Alexander versus Cesaro. I'll tell you why this match pissed me off. Once again, Corey Graves. This was a great match. And once again, here's Cesaro just lighting it on fire. He never dogs it. This is a guy who never, ever dogs it. He's walking out there knowing he's losing, and he's just busting his ass. And for a minute there, when Cedric Alexander did the, you know, injury angle, I said, oh, wait a minute. We might get something out of this. Maybe, just maybe. When then Corey Graves mentions it, well, what happens if Cedric can't be in the tournament? I guess Cesaro would have to take his spot. And I'm saying, oh, my God, that's what they're going to pull. They're going to pull it. Cesaro lost, but he has this newfound energy here. He's gotten by Cedric Alexander. He's going to have to now, I guess, get by Baron Corbin. And maybe we're going to see Cesaro go back to being a face, and we're going to get a little push for Cesaro. Wouldn't that be great? King Cesaro, I would love it. Even though it's a face, and I still say it's a better angle for a heel, maybe that would work. No, of course not. What am I thinking? Once again, he loses, even to a one-legged Cedric Alexander. He loses. And by the way, again, the WWE broadcast team have to bring that up. Now, I don't know whether they're told to bring it up or they bring it up on their own, but tell me the logic behind saying lines like, well, Cedric Alexander now has just one wheel, and Cesaro is a prime athlete. There's no way anybody on one wheel is going to beat Cesaro. Cesaro's perfectly healthy. Cesaro's in great physical shape. Cesaro is a stamina machine. Cesaro's the strongest guy pound for pound in wrestling. And now you got a one-legged guy. He's got no chance whatsoever. It just makes Cesaro look like an idiot when he loses. If you keep saying there's absolutely no chance, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to build up Cedric. But in building up Cedric, you got to be careful not to destroy Cesaro. And what you got left with that commentary is Cesaro's not even good enough to beat Cedric Alexander on one leg. A one-legged Cedric Alexander is better than a 100% completely healthy Cesaro. That's what you were left with. Thanks to the announcers. Now, there are other ways you could have done this. You could have had him say, Cedric was faking it. Or you could have had him say Cesaro got surprised. He should have went for the finisher and he didn't. He toyed around with him too long. After all, he's a heel. He wanted to prove a point. He could have pinned him there. He didn't. Make it something like that. But when it's just legitimately, no, Cesaro just can't win. Even though Cedric Alexander's got one leg, Cesaro can't win. It downplays Cesaro. So now we have Cedric Alexander going in against Baron Corbin, and we have Samoa Joe going against Ricochet. In a perfect world, we'd have Cedric Alexander and Ricochet in the finals on the Raw division, because that would be some match. Think about that match. But in the WWE world, I think we might get just the opposite. I think we might get Samoa Joe and Baron Corbin, and this could be where they turn Joe. I don't see them getting Joe in this tournament just to have him lose to Ricochet again. He's already lost to Ricochet. He lost the belt to Ricochet. He's going to lose to Ricochet again? Joe can't take too many more losses. You just kind of hit the reset button on him and said, oh, this is interesting. Seems like he's almost willing to turn face, but he's kind of reluctant. Destroyed Sami Zayn. He's looking like a world beater. Now he's just going to have him drop? I don't see that. So I don't think Ricochet is getting by Samoa Joe. And I wouldn't think that Cedric Alexander is going to get by Baron Corbin either, because I think the WWE is going to aggravate fans by saying, oh, yeah, sure, Baron Corbin is going to win. They know that Baron Corbin's not popular at all. So if they're going to give him to somebody, they're going to give him to somebody, hopefully, that they want to hit the reset button with, which would be Joe. At least that's my theory. I can't imagine that the WWE doesn't realize that Cedric Alexander and Ricochet would be the better match, and that the fans would be much happier with that match. But I don't think we're getting it, just based on the track record of the WWE, Mike.
Right. And to tell you the truth, I don't know if I believe anybody on the SmackDown side is going to win this thing. You know, so if Joe does go on to advance. I would think that he might. This would be a place where maybe a freshly turned Joe would, you would believe a freshly turned Joe as a face would win the King of the Ring.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you when you say you don't think anybody on the SmackDown side is going to win. I don't either. What's your thoughts on it, Todd? Yeah, we're having trouble with those phone lines again. I don't know what's happening here on Blog Talk. Going to do the best we can. Todd, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. What's your thoughts on this King of the Ring tournament thus far?
It's okay, but it looks like Corbin is going to be the one that's going to probably win it so far on the Raw side.
A lot of people are saying that. I hope that's not true, because if it is, that just smacks of lazy. Really, really smacks of lazy. So we get now Braun Strowman and AJ Styles in the main event for the U.S. title. And Braun Strowman has said, look, Seth Rollins is going in with two belts. I'm going to go in with two belts. I will defend the tag team belts. I will win the Universal Championship, and I'll defend the U.S. title. Well, you know that's not happening. So now we just got to figure out how long is it before Anderson and Gallows comes down, even though they're banned from ringside, because we know that's happening. We absolutely know that's happening. And sure enough, referee goes down. That's exactly what happens. Anderson and Gallows comes out. AJ Styles pulls the bluff with the chair, which I haven't seen in a little while, so that's okay, where Braun Strowman's apparently laid waste to everybody with a chair, and the referee thinks it was Strowman's doing because he's unconscious on the outside of the ring and doesn't realize it was Anderson and Gallows and AJ himself. And AJ wins by disqualification. The problem is it's such a letdown to your main event. You're just like, huh, that was it? That was the big main event we were waiting for? And so far, I've not really seen the OC cut loose. In other words, the OC looks beatable. The OC looks like, okay, we're guys who stick together, but we're not unconquerable. We're not the Shield. We're not DX. We're not any of those people. Remember how they used to end things with the Shield, where there'd just be people lying in a, you know, on the floor through a table or whatever, and then the Shield is standing over them? Well, you don't get that with the OC. You get the OC crawling out of the ring, holding their backs because they just got their asses kicked, holding their heads because they just got their asses kicked, you know. That's happened week after week after week now. So the OC is not being promoted as the Shield or DX or anybody else. They're not being promoted that strongly at all. And for that reason, I don't think they're going to go over that big. I really thought when they cut these guys loose and put them in the OC, I said, okay, now we're going to get a run. We're going to get a major run where there's just going to be, they're going to be trouble for everybody. And really, they're not. Braun Strowman pretty much handled them all by himself. Did the Shield get handled all by themselves, by anybody? No, not even the Undertaker. Because they were really promoting the Shield. Well, what does that make me think of the OC then? I don't think they're really promoting them to be world beaters or a faction that's a force to be reckoned with in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't appear that way. So that's a little disappointing. I think it was a disappointing ending. Raw itself, once again, had some good matches. Ricochet and Drew McIntyre was a very, very solid match. Cesaro and Cedric Alexander, very, very solid match. We didn't talk about Sasha and Natty. Natty did the right thing. You know, she gets in there and puts some energy into it and eventually taps to Sasha to really promote Sasha's character. Natty's going to do the right thing, and that is the right thing to do. So that was okay. Most of the matches were okay. I could have lived without the Tornado Tag Team thing because it was so convoluted and so overbooked and so obvious. That I could have lived without. Could have lived without the Street Profits narrating the episode. But overall, the matches were solid. I don't know if it did a lot to further storylines. See, we're coming up on Clash of Champions, and they're worried about King of the Ring. And rightfully so, King of the Ring is important. It's a big tournament. You got a lot of top guys in there. And all the momentum is like who's going to be the King of the Ring finalist and not so much who's going to be in the Clash, you know. And of course, Clash of Champions does have, we know, Braun Strowman against Seth Rollins. And now we know Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins against Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. And I'm going to presume Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, since all belts have to be defended. And I can't think of anybody else that she defended against. But the focus really is split now, isn't it? It's, oh, yeah, we're promoting Clash of Champions, but King of the Ring, and probably the final of the King of the Ring will be at Clash of Champions, I'm sure. I don't know. In going over the episode, I'm just going to say this. It doesn't seem very Paul Heyman-ish to me, because it wasn't overly suspenseful. It didn't have a lot of drama. It didn't have a lot of moments where you're like, oh, shit. You know, it kind of just... it was like a trail. It was there. There were some good parts. There were some parts that were unnecessary. There were some good matches. There were some so-so matches. It was just... it was very average. It's very average with peaks of above average. But really, that doesn't smack of Paul Heyman. You know, that one first episode where Heyman took over, you're like, wow, that's a Heyman episode. You could just tell. And then you're saying to yourself, well, I can't wait to see what's followed. And really what's followed has been rather blasé. It's been kind of average. And it doesn't smack of what Paul Heyman does at all. So now I'm going to cry BS on Paul Heyman having complete control over this Monday Night Raw. Because I know the way Paul Heyman's mind thinks, and it's not this. It's not, let's make our big main event be a disqualification victory when the OC comes down, even though they're banned from ringside. That in itself didn't make any sense, because if the referee wakes up and sees the OC at ringside, then it's a double disqualification because they're not allowed at ringside. So it doesn't matter if Braun Strowman hit anybody with a chair. The OC is not allowed at ringside, so therefore AJ's disqualified. And if you really believe Braun Strowman hit someone with a chair, then he's disqualified. So that would be a double disqualification. So even that doesn't make any sense. And the one thing Paul Heyman usually does well is pays attention to small detail. It doesn't seem like much attention was given to small detail. And I don't think Paul Heyman would have missed the chance to have Sasha and Bayley have a moment backstage either, Mike.
I don't think so either. And that's the thing, you know, and this wasn't a Paul Heyman show. I mean, it smacks of being something that was written before he took over, something that was in their plans before he took over, and he just stuck with it, you know. That's what this show smacks of. But on another positive is, again, we see the not only the Skittles commercial with the New Day, but, well, what do you know? Son of the Light, you know?
Yeah,
the New Day can sell anything, and they're gonna be the next John Cena-ish type thing, you know. They can do anything and sell anything.
I gotta tell you, I mean, they already are. I said probably, I don't know, what was it, Mike? Maybe 6 months or 8 months ago. That the New Day is going to go down in WWE history is probably the top tag team. Because they are one of those rare tag teams that can not only perform in the ring and really do a really, really, really good job and put on a, you know, 5-star match, but man, can they sell. Man, oh man, can they sell their matches. Man, oh man, can they get the crowd into it. Man, oh man, can they come out and use that microphone. And usually you're not gifted that way. Usually you have one of, it's like the Revival. The Revival can come out and really do a match. But they can't get the crowd involved. They just can't. And they're not that great on the microphone. And the Usos can put on a great, great match, and to an extent they can get the crowd involved, but they're not like the New Day. They can't sell. The New Day could sell ice to the Eskimos. Simple as that. They've got it down. Whatever it happens to be, they've got it. And they're definitely going to go down as one of the top tag teams in the history of WWE. No question in my mind. So let's get to the crux of the matter. And that's what do we rate this episode? Well, I got to tell you that I think there were some missed opportunities. I think there were some questionable booking decisions about who wins and loses. I don't like to see The Miz lose everything he's involved in, and then we're expected to cheer for him. I don't like to see Drew McIntyre lose every time he steps into the ring, and yet he's supposed to be fearsome. But those were good matches, I guess. I'm going to give it just a flat C. It was very much in the middle for me. I didn't think it was exceptional. I didn't think it was horrible. It was a decent wrestling show. Could have been a hell of a lot better, but it is what it is. At the end of the day, I didn't hate it. I was entertained enough by it, but nothing stuck out. Todd, what's your rating?
Flat C.
Okay, so he also gives a flat C. And as soon as we can get the phone lines working here, I don't know what our problem is. We will go to Mike for his rating. Go ahead, Mike.
Because of what they did with the club, I want to give it a little bit of a worse rating and say C minus, because I still think you can they haven't squeezed enough juice out of the OC yet, you know.
And truthfully, I haven't squeezed any. That's the problem. I'm really worried about where this OC thing is going, because again, if you look back on your factions that are major factions, DX, The Shield, Nexus, when they first formed, they were unstoppable. They were just unstoppable. They were wreaking havoc in the Federation. They didn't lose matches for a long time. They didn't get beat up for a long time. And the OC has been like a month. They've been beaten up three times. And lost the tag team belts. That would be the equivalent of saying The Shield came in, beat up a bunch of people, won the belts, and then 2 weeks later lost the belts. Did that happen? No. Everybody's complaining about, well, Nexus was destroyed with the John Cena thing when John Cena pinned them all. Well, what are you doing to the OC? They're getting thrown around by one man, all three of them. Last week, Braun Strowman could not handle all three of them. They were kicking his ass, and I said, this is great, because it's showing now the OC is going to be taken seriously. Even Braun Strowman can't overcome all of them. No, this week he did. This week he just slapped the hell out of all of them. So I don't see the OC as being a major force. The WWE wants you to believe they're a major force, but they don't treat them or book them like a major force. And that's too bad, because I think you really could have had something with him. So anyway, tonight on SmackDown, I guess we'll see who the hell this guy was that Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan pointed out. The ironic thing is, apparently they're going to come into the ring and demand an apology from Roman Reigns for implicating Eric Rowan. But we're not going to see what Roman Reigns' reaction was backstage when they revealed this guy. What did he say to him? Did he say, oh, okay, well, you're the guy, then I'm going to kick your ass? Apparently not. Or did he say, I don't believe a word you're saying, and storm out? I don't know. Apparently we're not going to be privy to that. We're just going to have Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan come out and say, we demand an apology from Roman Reigns. That doesn't sound promising or look promising to me. I'm sorry. I hope it goes better than it seems, but it, to be honest with you, the premise, and this is what they're promoting, the big apology thing, that doesn't sound good. Anyway, we'll be back here on Friday to talk about it. Thanks for listening.
10 seconds. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.